All right, staying with Libya, we want to sort of tie up everything that we've been thinking about and talking about this morning with Dirk Vandewalle, professor of government at Dartmouth College, author of A History of Modern Libya, and editor of Gaddafi's Revolution. Dirk, good morning, as always.
Good morning. Thank you.
You know, the after all of the sort of scripted protests that Gaddafi would take journalists on in Tripoli, the speeches, the outlandish suggestions of what would happen, does it surprise you that this is how apparently the Gaddafi narrative has ended this morning?
Well, as you said, apparently so far, we'll need to see this obviously confirmed. But in a sense, if it is indeed confirmed, then it very closely kind of coincides with Gaddafi's own narrative. And that is, he has always said that he would die in Libya, that he would not leave, and certainly the stronghold of Sirte, his native town, would be the place that he would have went to in the end. So it does kind of confirm the image that we have of him, and certainly the image that he himself wanted to portray to the rest of the world.
We've spoken with a whole number of residents of Tripoli and other cities, even fighters, some of whom are Libyan nationals, some of whom are apparently, people from outside of Libya who have been in this revolution all along. Every one of them describing an extraordinary personal emotion at the apparent death or capture, certainly the apprehension of Muammar Gaddafi. What do you think the political significance of that is as a nation prepares to build a new country?
Well, I think because Gaddafi was such a divisive figure that his death certainly brings to an end a kind of a process that has extended for so long now, ever since the uprising started in February. And the end of that process means that, in a sense, for the TNC, the interim council and its successors, that the rubber hits the road, so to speak, that now is the time to really start thinking very seriously about that timeline that they imposed on themselves for elections, for a constitution, in other words, for the creation of kind of a modern Libya, the kind of Libya that has never existed. And so it is an enormous challenge, and certainly, as you said, the death of Gaddafi will undoubtedly engender a lot of feelings on both sides, both relief and also sadness among some of the people who have supported him. So I think it truly is a crucial moment if indeed he has died.
And you've seen some of the pictures that have been broadcast, and there's more live footage of apparently the body of Muammar Gaddafi that we're seeing now. Is this a grisly exercise of showing this body, or does it speak to the sense of disbelief and wariness that people have about never trusting anything related to Gaddafi?
Well, I think it's probably all of the above. Certainly, one of the issues that the TNC was very concerned about was that Gaddafi, one way or another, would be able to perpetuate the myth that he was still alive, that he was still underground somewhere, and that would inspire all kinds of uprisings against the TNC. So I think probably as a cautionary measure, even though it may look very grisly, I think the TNC probably want to make sure that the world knows that whoever is still thinking of supporting Gaddafi within Libya at this particular point in time, that indeed the end has come, and that they do want to provide some physical proof of that.
We're speaking with Dirk Vandewalle, professor of government at Dartmouth College. And Dirk, does this then give more momentum to the other revolutions or protests involved in the Arab Spring?
Well, at least I think it gives some impetus, certainly within Libya, that the process that the TNC engaged upon now really needs to be pushed forward. And that will bring in its wake, I think, a number of challenges, but also a number of opportunities now that Gaddafi is out of the background, so to speak. Whether or not this can inspire anything beyond Libya, to me, seems a little bit more problematic at this point of view.
But how careful does the National Transitional Council have to be to both confirm that Muammar Gaddafi is dead, to not raise the expectation of vendettas and revenge, and to really end this chapter and move forward? Dirk Vandewalle, professor of government at Dartmouth College.
Well, I think it's, of course, that is an enormous challenge to the TNC. The easy part, in a sense, is over. They can prove that Gaddafi is dead. But now the long process of reconciliation, which in Libya will be particularly difficult because, after all, you've had a dictatorship for 42 years, and most people willy-nilly had no choice but to some extent be involved with that dictatorship. And now, of course, comes that very difficult decision-making process of deciding who can be rehabilitated, who will be beyond the pale. And we shouldn't forget, after all, that a lot of the TNC members themselves at one point worked for the Gaddafi government.
And that credibility is definitely going to be tested. Nick Kristof on our program earlier said that he is very optimistic that there are a lot of advantages that Libya has, beginning with the oil revenue. What would you say are the advantages that Libya has in attempting to put this coalition together?
Well, Libya indeed has an enormous amount of advantages, I think, but the one you just mentioned, oil, has been the major disadvantage in Libya. That is, the Gaddafi government very systematically used oil revenues to maintain a very extensive patronage system. And I think one of the dangers in Libya is that unless the TNC puts into place a number of institutions, a number of mechanisms to make sure that that does not happen again, we could very well see a repeat of that those kinds of policies. In other words, the TNC really needs to institutionalize the country very quickly. And I agree, there are lots of opportunities here. It's a young population. It's a population that is eager to move forward after 42 years of Gaddafi's rule. But I think it would be wrong to underestimate the challenges that Libya faces. After all, Libya has never truly been a unified country in the sense it has never had a national consensus that we in the West take for granted as we think about modern states.
Sounds like the opening chapter of your next book, Dirk van der Waal.
Indeed.
Dirk van der Waal, professor of government at Dartmouth College, is the author of A History of Modern Libya, the new chapter of which is being written this morning. He's also editor of Gaddafi's Revolution. Dirk, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And thanks for being with us on this important day for the people of Libya, the history of Libya. Let's recap now. The government, the National Transitional Council of Libya, is apparently preparing now to officially disclose what we've been hearing all morning long, that Muammar Gaddafi is dead. And as Dirk van der Waal suggested, it is an important moment for the credibility of the government. They have to assure the people of Libya that this is in fact true. They have to do it in a way that is going to not make him a martyr, and they're going to have to do it in a way that is going to look forward and allow the National Transitional Council to have fewer challenges rather than greater challenges in creating democratic institutions. But it's day one for Libya. The people we spoke with this morning, Libyan citizens, people in Tripoli, former fighters now who can maybe put down their weapons and think about government institutions, described one in particular that it was a feeling of being choked for so long, and now that's over, one woman in Tripoli told us this morning. We're going to leave you with the voice of Muammar Gaddafi, apparently killed as he tried to flee in Sirte, where the fighting ended this morning on this end of the rebellion in Libya and the beginning of a new government. Listen to Muammar Gaddafi.
No one against us. Against me for what? They love me, all my people with me. They love me all. They will die to protect me and my people.
It didn't turn out that way. Thanks to all of our coverage this morning, particularly our partners, the BBC and the New York Times. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.